hard line with a magazine of 10 rounds loaded to make ready. You make him inspiring when your target appears. Stand by contact. On the begin. Make ready on the right. Ready. Ready on the left. Ready. Already on the firing line. On the little end. Get those targets high in the sky. Get those targets high in the sky.
Shots down range. We're live again. Here we are, and this time it actually is Rodney.
What?
Whoa, welcome back, Rodney.
Yeah.
What?
That for the was second crazy. Time.
Yeah.
I didn't think that you would like stay on.
You didn't think it was real?
Yeah.
Like
you might go back to Mexico.
I thought you were gonna like stay live the van life in Mexico.
The van. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, so moving right along. Today we have Mr. Producer Jacob Miller.
Hey.
Hey, in the house, who's this guy across from me?
Who's this handsome devil?
It's me. Have Raya's boyfriend.
Oh my gosh. Forever known as.
Yes. Mr. Jordan Largesparta.
See, he always, yep.
You're there right. It is. Yeah,
there's the Largesparta.
And of course, we have our host, the definitive and refined Dr. Ron B. Smith Jr.
I like
Thank you
that.
So much. How is everybody doing today?
Great.
You guys are doing great?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Wait, you're not. You want us to ask how you're doing?
No. Right? I wanted to genuinely know how you guys are doing.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
And I'm glad everybody is equally doing great.
Yeah,
so I'm vibing. So now that you know.
Another politically correct answer from you guys. I'm so happy about it.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, I got up today and then.
Oh my gosh. No, so I was thinking about the worst thing ever is when you get like a cut on the back of your knee.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Or like a bug bite or a sunburn behind your knee where it's like that sensitive spot or like your armpit or something.
Really?
I was wondering, how do you heal those kind of wounds?
Oh, man.
How do you do that, Pastor Ron?
Those wounds, man.
What do you do about that?
You need bandages.
For starters, maybe don't lay on the beach with your armpits facing the sun.
I did that the other day, and I got really badly sunburned.
Everything is anecdotal. So, that's the problem.
I'm assuming you're thinking like the back of the knee is hidden.
Yeah.
And the armpit is hidden.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you for being wise.
Yes. Isn't that what we're talking about today?
Hidden wounds.
We are. So today we have someone in from Centricare. We're seeing a run of kids who are getting cuts behind in the back of their knee.
and bug bitten
at the same time. So probably what we would suggest is a little bit of Neosporin.
Mm. Okay.
Right? And maybe a Band-Aid if it's needed. If it seems like it's a deep cut or whatever, you might have to go see a physician.
Yeah. All right, Jacob, roll the outro.
All right.
and in your case, maybe 2 milliliters of common sense.
Yes. Oh, how funny. That was Jordan's very creative way of introducing the title, How to Heal Your Hidden Wounds.
Here we go.
All right. But you know what? I'm glad we sort of had fun with that because men, I think, are not the best at talking about hidden wounds.
Yeah.
Maybe even discovering them. I say that because Raina has just been so good, and I know our girls as well are very intuitive as to what's down deep inside,
right,
and sort of what affects them. Raina and I have been to a number of conferences through the years, and they don't just sort of deal with what's at hand. They always sort of go back and ask, you know, has there been a time when? Has there been a time when? And sometimes we think that's ridiculous. You know, it's like they keep pressing and pressing. And we were in one conference, and one guy just kept looking at me, and he was, you know, everybody else like kind of confessed.
Yeah.
And literally he kept hammering. And Raina was like, I just have to interrupt. Like, he didn't have that as a kid. Like, he wanted to find some traumatic event. You know, was there a time when your grandfather forced you to, you know, and she was like, now, his parents weren't perfect, no, but he just kept like having to go back. my point is at that moment, I did feel uncomfortable. I was like, do I make something up? Do I what? And so I think sometimes we're not really good at identifying hidden wounds. Yeah.
Were you at a charismatic church?
No.
Actually, not a really good church. I mean, these were really good leaders. But he just kept... Like on his ledger, I had to say something.
Yeah, he felt like you were hiding.
He did.
Yeah.
And that's why Raina stepped in, which she rarely does. She stepped in and she was like, you know, I know this about him and this or that. But for all of us, I'm not saying that statement wasn't meant to say that, you know, I was perfect. But like Raina, as she confesses, she remembers growing up under her bed as a kid more than she does on her bed. So there were some, you know, difficult, challenging moments. I think he was looking for something like that.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment? But nonetheless, it doesn't have to be to that level. You literally could walk into third grade and somebody say, like, why are you wearing those shoes? And for some people, you know, it really sits deep. And so now every time you put on a new pair of shoes, I'll be honest, sometimes you put on a new pair of shoes and you're like, what are people going to say?
Yeah. Mm.
You know, well, we need to be real about those things. But we do want to talk about hidden wounds. And we know the Bible tells us that God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals.
Mm-hmm.
And he even tells us that in Psalm 147, I am the God who heals the brokenhearted. And speaking of bandages, Jordan, for the back of knees, it says that he bandages their wounds.
Mm.
All right, so what are hidden wounds? Let's try our best to identify, or rather define, so we can identify.
Yeah.
Okay? Hidden wounds are, listen, they are memories that still hurt.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay? That's important.
Okay.
We all have memories. All of us can recall moments and times, but they still hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the recollections of those things from your past, when you think of them, they still cause pain in your life. Maybe they still cause difficulty in relationships. That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. We've all been offended. We live in a fallen world. Fallen people do fallen things. Hurting people hurt people. We know that, no matter what age you are. So we're not talking about have you lived a life that is pain-free and hurt-free.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, there's a difference between having had an experience in the past that hurt you.
Correct.
And that hurt or pain still influencing how you think and feel now.
Exactly.
So this isn't a call to recall pain and suffering and bring it up to the surface.
Yes.
Because if you're not thinking about it, you have moved on. This is about something that's now impacting the way you make decisions and think and feel and act.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very well said. Like, for instance, you know, some folks deal with abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a lot of folks that they were at school and a parent literally forgot to come pick them up.
Or they're at school and they don't have any friends at all.
Or there's another good illustration. So abandonment. Obviously, some people have memories of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's literal physical abuse, emotional abuse, and verbal abuse. Some people have memories of ridicule.
Yeah.
Severe criticism, not just criticism in general, but severe criticism at home. Hatred, prejudice, criticism that just tore you down. All of those things, you know, are hidden wounds that you need to identify because they're still affecting, to Rodney's point, how you make decisions.
Right.
Now, I'm just telling you, I honestly see a lot of this in men, and they're bringing it into their marriage. They're bringing it into their job. Maybe as a father, they didn't have a good father, and they don't know it, but they're still sort of parenting their children now like they were parented, and they don't. Maybe they realize it. They don't realize it. Maybe they don't realize the source that it came from. So, to Rodney's point, we're not trying to do a recall on every hurt, because if you've moved on from it, you know it's not affecting you. Then you moved on.
Yeah.
But are there some things in your life that are affecting, like, how you manage life, how you make decisions? How well you do your job, how you interact with your wife, how you interact with your children, and maybe you're just not aware of areas of your life that need to be healed.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when the Bible tells you and I, when Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind.
Right.
Okay, so let's deal with that really quickly. The Bible is not ignorant, obviously, and God is not foolish, obviously. When the Bible tells you and I, forgetting those things which are behind, the Bible full on knows that we can recall if we really wanted to. We could go back and recall.
You can dwell on.
We can dwell on.
Yeah.
We also know the Bible says, I have forgotten your sins. So there are two things that are hard for us to comprehend. it's hard for us to comprehend that why would that not still affect me? Like, the Bible's telling me to forget it, but I legitimately can't forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But wait, how does God have the capacity to literally never remember it?
Yeah.
Like, both of those things are on opposite ends of the spectrum, and we're like, I don't know how to deal with this. The definition, when the Bible talks about forgetting those things which are behind, literally means they're no longer affecting how I live today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to get to.
Yeah, so I guess if you're like, do I have hidden wounds? This is because you were saying earlier that you were talking to this guy and he was like, you must have hidden wounds.
Right.
But you were like, I really don't.
Right.
So if you want to think about, do I have hidden wounds, it's not about how much you're thinking about it, it's about your actions.
Exactly.
Mm. So am I living out this action in an unhealthy way? Do I speak to my wife or my kids or my friends in an unhealthy way?
Right.
That could mean that you have hidden wounds that you don't know about.
Right. Well, exactly.
Yes. I think that's the key, is hidden could mean that they're hidden from you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And the reason for the way that you react or act on things is because of the thing. Like, if you suffered from feelings of abandonment while you were dating, right? Every girl just walked out on you, or a guy or whatever walked out on you. No, I want to go back. When I said guy to lady, right. Lady to guy, we're not playing that game here.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right. But if that happened, and then you subconscious or at one point consciously said, never going to happen again.
Never going to happen again.
Well, now you've practiced it to the point to where it's second nature. You don't think about it. I don't even remember the thing that hurt me.
Yeah.
But I have my defense mechanisms have been built. My wall is there. Right. I have now built this fortress, and good luck getting through it.
Right.
And I'm completely unaware at this point. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember in a marriage counseling session Rayleigh and I had, we were talking about like almost like hidden, like emotional, like triggers. Mm-hmm. So this could be something of that nature where like you say something to your spouse or you say something to someone and they're like, whoa, that just kind of set something off. Like hit a hurt when you're like that. What you just said didn't really, it doesn't make sense.
Right. Like you're the one that's saying stuff and you don't know why you're saying stuff.
Correct.
So it's just like belittling people.
Yeah.
Like, why am I, I don't want to speak like that. That's not who I want to be.
Yeah.
But you're hitting on things that you're like, why am I acting the way that I don't want to act?
Mm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes I say stuff and I'm
like, I have a sunburn on my armpit.
Yes, literally, bro. Sometimes I say the most awkward stuff, and I look back and I'm like, "Why did I say that, bro?"
Yeah.
But like, you can do the same thing with like, you can belittle people, or you can be negative, and you're like, "I don't. That's not who I am."
Yeah. Right.
Why am I acting like that?
Yes, exactly right. So how do we deal with it? Well, again, this isn't a recall, but here's what you do have to do. You need to learn how to reveal your heart to God. So let me just, so Rodney, you just said it, but here's how the Bible addresses it. Listen to Psalm 39. I kept very quiet. Like, in other words, this never again, right? Never again. Snap my fingers. No one's ever going to do this to me again. I became very upset. I became very angry inside. And as I thought about it, my anger burned.
Wow.
I mean, you literally said it. So when we receive some type of comment, hurt, abuse, any type of action that we don't deal with, and the statement comes out basically never again, right? What happens is that stews in us. Like it just sits there. And we can do a good job of suppressing it. A lot of us have learned how to suppress a lot of stuff. But ultimately, back over to Jordan's point, it does come out.
Yeah.
And you may not be attaching my belittling talk to when someone belittled me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
and neither are you, like the person doing the belittling.
Yes.
Nobody knows where it's coming from.
Exactly.
But it's coming out.
It's coming from somewhere, right? And again, this doesn't have to be only when you were like 5 years old that the hurt was received. This could be like, I remember listening to my dad so many times, subcontractors often wouldn't pay him. And I can remember him getting back into the truck, and as a kid, I was like, you let me go talk to that guy. You know what I mean? A kid, I wanted to defend my dad, but he didn't come in the truck and he wasn't like this or that. My dad just somehow just let it roll off of him. He was sitting in the truck and he'd go, well, they're not going to pay me. I got to figure out what to do. How am I going to get my money? The job is done.
Yeah.
and down deep inside, I'm going, I want cereal. I want clothes. You're going to pay me, you know. I'm like 9 years old. I'm going to go out and fight that guy. But my dad was just like, well.
Yeah.
But he did the next subcontractor he went to, he didn't come at that next subcontractor like, because of what the other guy did. I don't know how my dad did it, but
turned the other cheek.
He often did. I mean, he would just let that go. But for those of us that don't, when we keep quiet, we get more upset. Listen to the build. I kept quiet, became upset, became angry, and then I burned. Like, listen to the Bible build. That's Psalm 39, verses 2 through 3, the New Century Version, which is more like the Living Bible Version, which is why it reads the way it does. Here's another one, Psalm 32:3. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside. I moaned all day long.
Wow.
That is such a revealing verse.
Bro.
So when we get hurt by somebody, I mean, even if it's somebody on I-4 that cuts you off, if you're that type of personality, you literally will just let that sit in and you'll moan inside.
Yeah.
And now every time you get on the highway, you're looking for, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're letting that affect your decisions. Job confesses and says this in Job 18:4, you are only hurting yourself with anger. Wow. If there was ever a guy that could legitimately speak on potentially being angry, his is the voice you should listen to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's what I'm trying to say. You have to reveal that hurt. You have to reveal that hurt. I've shared my story. When my mom passed away, I was very angry at God for about 3 months. And then finally I did. I had to be like, I have to get rid of this. Like, it's showing up.
It affects every part of your life.
It affects every part. Like, it's got to come out. And speaking of, like, I think we did an episode on dating. Speaking of dating, Raina had dated and three other guys, and they had ended, you know, in difficult ways. And she had dealt with more death than I ever had up to that point. So when I met Raina, I didn't know that'd be a side benefit, if you will, of marrying Raina, that what she went through. But because of what she went through and how she handled death, she was able to help me walk through losing my mom, because I had never really suffered anything significant like that up then. I was 34 years of age. But because of what she went through as a young age, she was able to help. All right, here's what we know. Because we live in a sinful world, people abuse other people. You're going to get hurt somehow.
Yeah.
And when you do get hurt, you have to reveal it. Often what we do is we try to forget it. We try to run. We try to suppress. We try to ignore, blame, and carry.
Especially as men.
Especially as men.
Yeah.
We think we're supposed to. We think, you know, suck it up.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is a time to suck certain things up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you need to carry something a long way and, you know, like, do that. But you don't carry emotional hurt. Nobody can. That's why the Bible says, cast all your anxiety on him. Things weren't meant to be carried. They were meant to be cast.
Yeah.
So you honestly just have to start a conversation with God and talk to God about it.
Yeah. And also, I think more so with men than anyone. Well, maybe not, in different ways.
Yeah.
But we harness this, like, you know, some of us understand the last episode we talked about, you know, no, God is not my, Jesus isn't my co-pilot,
Yeah.
But some of us want to be the co-pilot.
Yes.
And when we think it's not going the well, you know what, just let me grab the stick. I got this. I got it right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, you know, guilty. I spent more than half of my life doing that. But the other part is that our life is ours.
Right.
This thing that I've got, it's mine. I built it. And what I have, I worked for. Mm-hmm. I got this. These are my things. Everything that I've scraped, you could have come from a bad background, and you had to scrounge your way up in life. And you have this chip, like, I did this. And when we think that this is all ours and it's me and mine, it's a lot easier to get offended.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to get,
'cause it's your stuff.
Right. It's you're talking about me. You're, you know, rather than going, "Hey, God gave me this. If you want to beat me up about it, that's fine. I'm going to let he's the righteous judge in this." So, you know, it's like not allowing God to be in complete control also.
Absolutely. The term self-made man.
Yeah.
You know, you put a fence up around everything, and when somebody steps over and trespasses, then we take personal offense to that instead of letting Christ. No, absolutely. So, you know, first and foremost, when it comes to this, knowing what's done, again, this isn't a recall. But if you're finding certain, to Jacob's point, like triggers, if you will, are things that when you're talking that are affecting how you're having conversations or not having conversations with your wife, on how you're making decisions, or if you're finding yourself being negative and belittling where you weren't normally that, if you're finding more problems than you're finding solutions, then something's down there that you got to deal with. And again, it didn't have to be when you were 5 years old, yeah. You know, that a kindergartner did something to you. It could have been like that morning.
Yeah.
There was a hurt or a wound that was affecting you. So you've got to just go to God on that one. And here's the other one. This is so hard to do. You got to learn how to release those who've hurt you. Mm-hmm. Man, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my grandmother was probably on my dad's side, was probably one of the funniest senior adult women I've ever met in my life. She really was. I can remember riding with her in a car, and she would see people on the side of the road, and if they had a flat tire, she would say things like this. She'd say, "Do you ever just want to drive by and kick the jack out and watch that thing fall down?" And I was like, I'm like nine. And I'm like, that's what,
what?
I'm down deep inside. I'm like, No. She would say things like, "If I had a BB gun and people riding by on a bicycle, I just want to go pew and just shoot them in the bottom." I mean, she was the funniest lady.
That's hilarious.
Just odd things that she would say, like, you know, like that. Like, we would always meet at my grandfather's house.
So you didn't buy a BB gun for 25 years?
Yeah, exactly. I never rode by my grandmother on a bike. She's going to shoot me. You know, but so my dad's shop and my grandfather's shop, their businesses were behind my dad's house. So we all met at my dad's house. That was what we call home base. And I'd always go in there and listen to my grandfather say, "We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this job. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to do this." My grandmother would just sit there and she'd go, And all of a sudden he leaves the house and she goes, "I just listen to whatever he says and agree that I'm going to go do whatever I want to do anyway." I mean, she literally said that. And I was like,
"What?"
I don't know that that's like a good thing.
No,
but she
way.
Was just a feisty, you know, funny.
Yeah, yeah.
She just had little quirks about it and so forth. My point in all that is sometimes when somebody would hurt her, she would hang on to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could tell she would remember when somebody hurt. Like she would say, you know, like a sort of vengeance was hers.
Forgiven but not forgotten.
Exactly. Mm. Like she would watch. No, that's not healthy. You've got to learn how to release those who've hurt you. Romans 12 says, "Never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourselves."
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
That is hard to do.
I mean, when somebody just, you know, says something back to you or does something to you or your family, I mean, you want to retaliate. You want to retort. You know, if somebody makes a comment about, I don't know, something about your job or your hair or your clothes, you want to come back and just, you know, back at you, you know, like get it. No, that's hard to practice. But the Bible says when we receive that comment, that critical comment, don't pay back. You've got to learn how to release them. Understand that hurting people are hurt people. I'll be honest, probably the one that is a master at this is Raina. Raina just has the ability. I will listen to people say things to her in different situations, and I'm going, how in the world?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like super mean, but I'm just like, that was kind of critical. That was like unnecessary.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you know what? They're having a bad day. You know what? They just, you don't know what their story, you know what? You don't know what they meant for, like, what that was meant for. You know what? This is just a byproduct of something else. And I was just, and I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, but she's literally practicing this. So how do you get rid of these hidden wounds? Well, every time you get hurt, don't put a check mark on a board somewhere, or don't write it down in a log and go, "All right, I remember that."
Grudge tape video cabinet.
So what if it's something a little different? Like, okay. I know it's like a lot of small comments can add up to something big, but something big can add up to something big as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So like what happens when that thing that happened 3, 4, 5 years ago is still affecting me today that somebody did a long time ago?
Right.
Right. Like how do I let go of something if I've just tried harder every time and it's just not working?
That's a really good question. I mean, there's multiple levels, honestly, depending upon what it is. Obviously, you know, we partner with some great counselors here at our church, and they do different levels of treatment for folks. I don't know, about a month ago, I was talking with someone, and because of an event that happened in their life, it sort of triggered. They were always the caretaker at a very young age.
Yeah.
They were the caretaker for their mother and now the caretaker for their father. And when the mother passed away, you know, there was never this thank you. There was never this, you know, the mom just kept taking from. And she was extremely bitter at that. And she thought, this was years ago, she thought she was over that. And then now she's in the same situation with her dad and the dad's, and she was just like, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Like, I don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we walked through literally like how the some simple basic steps. But then she went to some of our counselors and started receiving different levels of treatment on things, not all medicine, just levels of treatment that they have out there that literally like help cleanse yourself of that. But to be honest and to be fair, one of the greatest ways to do it is honestly, it's going to sound so churchy, but it's so powerful. And this is what I told her. I said, right now, you're trying to live a version of a life that you'll never get back.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find out who God wants you to be now.
Mm.
Like they made the statement, I want you to know me like who I was then. I was like, I don't want to know you back then.
Mm.
You went through that for a reason. I want to know you for who you are right now. And you need to know, what does God want you to learn right now? I said, you've got to fall in love with worship. You've got to fall in love with... You're still trying to repair stuff that you can't go back in time and repair.
Yeah.
You need to say, okay, God, those things did happen to me. I can't go back. My mom can't come back from the grave and say, you know, none of that in time can go back. But what are you wanting to make of me now based upon those things?
Mm.
And I said, I want you to start falling in love with worship. Start falling in love with prayer, because the Bible taught, it's called the principle of replacement, Philippians 4, think on these things.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to start thinking on the right things. Now, does that mean that out of one good thought during the day that you had, that there's going to be probably 14 others for now that are going to be there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you just keep thinking, and eventually you're going to reduce it from 1 to 13 and 1 to 12 and 1.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to get there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really kind of depends on the level of abuse and how long it was there. And
yeah.
Yeah. We also, you have to be careful. Sometimes it's not as obvious as being smacked in the face.
Right.
Things like a critical spirit. So you could have had a father or a mother who they never picked out the 33 things well that you did.
Right.
They always picked out the one thing you didn't do.
That's it.
And so they critiqued you. You felt like and maybe you became a perfectionist and you excelled in life and you thought, well, you know, that taught me to be real, to succeed. Thanks, mom and dad. And now you're turning around and repeating this and injecting raw criticism into your children at all times.
And never taught you how to be an encourager.
Right.
Right.
And
yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Because in your mind, there was a successful result to that response. So you bury the pain of having gone through it and you just go, well, this equals eventually this. But you know, you're completely forgetting the pain that you're putting your own kids or wife or whoever through.
That's interesting.
So you got to go back and address that problem.
That's it.
You gotta surrender that, give that to God, and go, you know, I need to stop this habit of.
Absolutely.
I had another question.
Yeah.
Once like you kind of release the hurt that you experienced, how is it that if you were hurt in some extreme way, right, how do you learn to trust again?
Oh, that's a great question. One episode at a time is what I tell folks. I'm like, this is going to be a process. So like to my point earlier, when it might be for one positive thought you've had that day, you're still probably going to have 13, maybe not towards that one incident, but just in general, because like to Rodney's point, once you start adopting a bitter spirit and a negative spirit, you're tainted now to see everything bitter. You're tainted to see everything. Yeah. So it's not that everything is, you're just choosing to see the other side of it.
Yeah.
So it may not be towards that one incident, but yet you just start learning with one thing at a time. To my point to those folks is like, now you have to start seeing, like to this one illustration, they wanted me to see them as a point in time back, which there's no way I can go back to know them then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want to see the progress you're making now.
Yeah.
Well, little did they know by me pointing that out to them, they're seeing it.
Okay. Mm.
So now they're physically coming back to me saying, here's what I saw today. Here's what I witnessed today.
Yeah.
And then at some point when they start to do that, I'm like, well, now tell me what you're doing.
Yeah.
And like for most of them, the light bulb goes off and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm now thinking more of what I'm seeing is happening rather than what could have happened.
Wow. Yeah.
And
that's
I'm
good.
Like, we've literally just had a change of thought. And they're like, oh my, but it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, for all of us. I mean, there are still those moments, to be fair, when I see someone, you know, passing, like a mom passing, that there aren't moments where I'm like, yeah, I remember that when my mom died. But it's like that. It's that fast. But I still go back to that moment when she did.
Yeah.
But I don't sit in that moment like I did there for a period of 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
We're all that way. Yeah. Remember, the Bible never tells us that we're going to have the psychological ability to truly forget.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is the one that truly forgets. But we have the ability in Christ to no longer let it affect us now.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, sometimes it just takes time to just, okay, like look at it in a dating relationship or a marriage relationship. If someone's violated trust, well, the trust can be rebuilt, but it's like somebody says it's like building a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You don't rebuild the whole bridge all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You build it one plank at a time.
Okay. Yeah.
Until you're across. Does that make sense?
Right.
Can you see that visual, even though we're right now on air instead of broadcasting this, but it's one plank, one moment, one step of trust at a time. That's how you learn to release those, or even those moments that have hurt you.
Makes sense.
Right? The Bible says this: a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, Hebrews 12, but can also poison the lives of many others.
Mm.
So what we've all said here is one of the ways to tell there's a hidden wound, if I'm living in bitterness, is if I find myself belittling, if I find myself being negative, if I find myself being critical, if I find myself being reclusive, if certain triggers cause certain things in my life, then what I'm doing is I'm still living in that moment. So I'm sort of I'm still sort of filled with poison, hurt, bitterness, anger, resentment, and it spills out on others.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you have one or two people you can really trust, let's just take negativity, for instance. We'll just use that one. If you have some people that you can trust, just say, hey, I would like to think I consider myself to be a positive person, but tell me, am I really?
Yeah.
You know, and let them answer that and go, you know, you are in certain situations, like when it's your birthday and you're opening up presents, you're really positive. You know? But no, I mean, like I confess that a while back on Front Sight, and I think even in sermon series, where I asked Raina that question, I was like, I'd like to think I'm a positive person. She's like, you really are. But she's like, there are those moments when I can tell you're under pressure that you come in, and instead of saying things like, cool, dinner's done, it's like, you know, it's something else. Like, I'd point something else, like, why is the dog food bowl sitting in the corner? I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Versus looking at what's being done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In a stressful situation,
you
retreat back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, I was using something simple, using me, and of course, negativity. But when the Bible says that one of the ways you'll know that it's still affecting the way you live is ask others around you, because we're not made to contain stuff.
Right.
It's going to come out in some way.
Yeah.
It's going to come out in a habit.
Yeah.
It's going to come out in language. It's going to come out in lifestyle. We were not meant to hold hurt in.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to make its way out.
Yeah.
And when it does, there are other people around us that can sense that, or they've even they've been on the receiving end of that. That's all we have to learn to release. So we've got to learn how to run to God. You got to release those who've hurt. We got to get rid of some false beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay.
False beliefs. When a wound settles, that's when false beliefs step in.
Ooh. Okay.
When a wound settles, that's when we start to believe, well, I must have done something to warrant the person talking to me. There must be something wrong with me.
Okay.
Or I shouldn't do, you know what I mean? Like, or God doesn't love me. If he'd have truly loved me, this wouldn't have happened. Or he's the wrong person, or this, or she's, like, we settle for false beliefs. When a wound steps in, we start to evaluate, what did I do wrong? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you need to ask some of those self-inventory questions to evaluate. Absolutely. But what I'm talking about here is when we replace truth with false beliefs about God, about others, about the situation, and about me.
Okay.
Right.
The Bible says, Romans 12, this is the New Living Translation, let God transform you into a new person, listen, by changing the way you think.
Hmm.
You might know that verse is renew your minds daily.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Like on a daily basis, you have to renew your mind. You have to let your mind, like every day is going to have its own history of junk.
Yeah.
Every day. Okay. So at the end of that day and before the next day, I've got to learn how to empty some of that out, or at least put it in an area of my life where I can manage it to where it's not managing me.
What does it look like to release it when you're like, you know, when something happens and you're like, man, that really shouldn't have happened?
Okay.
What does it look like practically when it says, let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think?
That is a great question. Obviously, it depends upon the incident.
The situation, yeah.
It depends upon the situation. Some are obviously more severe, and in some cases, they might be continually repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up in an abusive home and now you're in an abusive relationship because that's all you sort of know, then, I mean, that's pretty extensive because you're asking yourself, like, why do I continue to be abused?
Yeah.
Well, that might take a while to sort of unravel.
Right.
But nonetheless, all of us, no matter the offense, all of us have to submit ourselves to the truth of God's character, like who he is, why he does what he does, why he allows what he allows, and what he says about us.
Okay.
When a wound settles, that's when the devil wants to step in and just tell you lies to make you think negative about God, critical about God, skeptical about God, so that you won't even run to God.
Right.
Which is why the first thing you got to do is run to the Word of God.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah. And that might sound churchy to some
people, but
man, it's when you're in the Word, you're more enlightened about your own situation. It's like if you're inclined to, at work, launch a vicious email, and if you've ever had somebody tell you, hold on, stop, sit back and think on it before you act, the second email or the third email that you end up writing is nothing like the first one.
Yes.
And that's what God's word does for, you know, the processing of emotion.
That, honestly, right there is really good advice. I actually forgot about that, but actually was reading when I was studying some of this stuff, and they were like, that's exactly what this individual said. They said, when a hurt happens, go ahead and write out that email. Go ahead and write out that text.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit on it, pray on it, somewhere. Come back and edit it. And they said, typically by the time you get down to when you feel the Holy Spirit has either said, glad you wrote it, burn it, or this is good, like that's an appropriate response, now send it. That's when you know it's a healthy response. That is such a... But most time, what do? We get a text like, back at you.
Yeah.
You know, we get an email and we're like, ha-ha, take that. You know, verbal grenade coming your way.
Or you do the opposite and you just like, well, that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to still process what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's the fine line, is being able to identify righteous anger and not.
Mm-hmm.
And so... if something happened before, it's something that somebody wronged you or something happened to you that shouldn't have happened, and you're still angry about it, that's not righteous anger.
Mm. Right.
Righteous anger is somebody doing something wrong now and has no intention of stopping, or, you know, that violates, you know, the precepts of the Bible. And so that's righteous anger, because you want it to stop and it needs to stop, and you're going to address it in the correct way, in the proper way, and God gives us instructions on how to do that. But stewing on it and being mad about something else, that's a lack of forgiveness and bitterness and anger.
Yeah. Because to your guys' point, you know, there's a difference between the brain and the mind.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And the brain, physically, doesn't know the difference between what's true and false.
Mm.
The brain doesn't. The mind does, which is why the Bible says, let Christ transform your mind.
Mm.
Like, scientists are still perplexed and amazed where thoughts even come from.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. But yet, thoughts form words, words form actions, actions determine behavior.
Yeah.
And thoughts actually help us form, like I said, these words, but scientists are still sort of baffled, like, where does a thought even, we know where it originates from.
Right.
Right? So the mind actually knows what is right, what is wrong, what is true. The brain physically itself does not. The brain only responds to what the mind feeds it.
It's a computer. Your brain's a computer. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So whatever you put into that computer, the brain must think, well, okay, that's truth because he gave it to me.
Yeah.
That's why they say neurons that fire together wire together. Mm. You know, so whatever I think about the most becomes a pattern of thinking.
Mm.
That's why we have to, over time, like you literally can disconnect those neurons that have wired together by no longer thinking certain thoughts.
Wow.
It's a powerful thing. It takes a while, depending upon the habit, the addiction, yeah. the hurt, mm-hmm. The pattern, all of that. But nonetheless, the Bible says, let God transform your mind. Like, that is God's responsibility. That's his job. Transform your mind. If he transforms your mind, then that's the way you begin to think, Philippians 4, which determines how you act.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But you have to give your brain, the right things to think about.
Yeah.
Which come from God transforming your mind. So you got to replace false beliefs with Christ truth. And then mm-hmm. from that, the next step is you always have to just find out what is God's plan.
Yeah.
Like, don't just, okay, so to Rodney's point, the brain is a computer. I've input the proper information. Don't let the computer just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do something with it.
Yeah.
Like, utilize it. Most people, they get their head right for a moment, but now they don't do anything with it.
Oh, yeah.
So literally, you're a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Right? If it doesn't result in an action change,
yes.
then there's no point in doing it in the
Absolutely.
First place.
Mm. Absolutely. I'll use me. I don't know if it's a good example or not, but my little habit of when I put together a sermon, immediately when a sermon fires in my head, I have to go share it. Like, I'll walk up and down the hallway. Rodney, unfortunately, I think, has been a victim of this a few times, where I'm like, listen to this. I've never seen this in the book of Hebrews before.
Yeah.
Or I'll text Raina, or I'll Leah, Debbie, like, whoever will listen to me. I literally will just come out immediately and go, I got it. As soon as I do that, it's basically set in stone in me. Mm. As soon as I share that, I may not understand the full sermon that's about to come out of it, but because I did something with the information that just transplanted itself in my brain from my mind, now came out in terms of action, it's cemented.
Yeah. So you verbalized it.
I verbalized it.
Now it's like in your memory, you can...
It's locked in.
Yeah.
And now God will take that point that was locked in and build an entire sermon around it. So you have to focus on what do you want to do with this? God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a moment. What do you want to do with this? Listen to Job. What a good advisor on this. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Face the world again.
Mm.
This is Job, who lost everything in the world, is telling us, face the world again.
Except his wife.
Yeah. Firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory.
Mm.
This is Job.
This is in the midst of suffering, too.
Yes. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Like floods that are past and remembered no more.
Wow.
Gee whiz, Job was one strong dude, right? To be able to say that. Proverbs, great wisdom. Look straight ahead with honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame.
Mm.
I'm not one of these prophet preachers that's like, somebody in San Francisco needs to hear this right now. You need to step to the TV and give me $5. But you know what I just felt? I honestly just felt like right now, there's some guy out there right now that's hanging their head in shame. There's a dad, there's a husband, and you need to hear this part. Look straight ahead with honest confidence, Proverbs 4:25, the Good News Version. Don't hang your head in shame. The devil wants you in shame. He wants you to feel like you've lost it all. You feel like the world is against you rather than going out and facing the world, firm and courageous, and let God just fade those memories out of your life like floods that are past and remembered no more. Put your heart right, reach out to God, face the world again. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, I thought you hit it right dead center bullseye with the putting it into practice.
Yeah.
It also, like, if you do things that are uncomfortable because you know you have habits that have been formed based on bad experiences in the past, and, you know, for example, I know that my son, my oldest son, Harlan, he wants to please so badly that he's very sensitive.
Mm.
And so my second nature is just to go from A to B as fast as possible. Hey, don't do that, right? Do this, do that. And like, you have to consciously go, hey, what you just did, these three things, those were awesome.
Yeah. Right.
This one thing, next time, just make sure you do that, and you're set. And but when you do something like that and you see the positive result, you see God working through it, it's a lot easier to remember doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't use the computer to put it in practice, you're going to get stuck in the cycle.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas if you start doing it, it becomes second nature, because that's how you learn how to do the dumb thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is by taking a bad experience and doing it and repeating it and making it second nature.
And what is one of the best things you can do with it? Redeem your pain. That's like the last thing. Redeem your pain.
Oh, that's great.
Like, you've got to use your experiences to help others.
Yeah. Mm.
What happened to you is not only for you.
Yeah.
It is to eventually help others. And so learn from it. Like, redeem that pain. Most of us recycle the hurt and live it over, 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 and over. No, do the opposite. Redeem it.
Yes.
Like, take it out of you. Like, take that hurt, that moment that you learned, and step in and use it to help somebody else. And you'll find out when you're doing that, you're like, man, like, I know how bad they feel. Like, when honestly, when I sit with somebody in my office and they're like, I lost my parent, and I tell them I lost mine as well, they're like, what? We thought your life was perfect, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I know exactly how you feel right now. I can tell you the three emotions you feel right now. And they're like, exactly. Redeem it. Redeem that pain. This is how you look. Hidden wounds want to remain hidden. They want to stay in the secret. The devil loves to work in the dark.
Yeah.
And this is the way you and I put light on the hurt that the devil can use against us, rather than letting God use it, not necessarily for us, but for others and for Him.
Yeah.
Come on. You don't need to hang your head low today. God has a plan for your life. Get rid of those. Identify them. Step out. Redeem it. Let God use it. Whoo, that was a lot of material today.
That was a lot of material.
We did good.
But I feel like the back of my knees are going to feel a lot better.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. They're on their way. How about that?
I'm equipped right now. I'm equipped.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Lay on your back.
You got the tools.
With your arms down.
All right. That's
when you get sun this week.
Good stuff.
I love you guys.
Thank you, Front Sight, man. Hang in there.
Come on. See ya.
Peace.